All right, as previously stated, we are excited to have Brother Alvin and Sister Keenan Cowan, who are going to be speaking to us tonight. We love and appreciate Brother Alvin and Sister Keenan and little sister, I say little, but she's not so little anymore, and young Sister Adriana. Many good things we could say about this family. I know Brother Alvin has been helping us with ushering there with the men in the back for some time now, but we also know that this entire family has a ranch or farm operation of sorts, and we know that they raise chickens that lay eggs. We know because Adriana has brought many of these multicolored eggs. I never knew that eggs had so many different colors, blue, red, brown, speckled, etc. And so they've been a blessing to us. And with that said, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to you now, Brother Alvin. Go right ahead, sir.
Okay, Keenan, do you want to go first?
No, but I will. Thanks, babe.
My dad sent me ladies first.
All right, Mr. Keenan, go right ahead.
Okay. First off, praise the Lord, church, and thank you for having us on this call tonight. We appreciate the church family. Honestly, I don't know where I'm going to go with it, so a bit about my story before Alvin. I was in a highly toxic relationship with Adriana's dad. And from the get-go, it was just a bad deal. And I remember in the beginning, like literally within the first month, he was visiting me at my job and talking about something. And I looked at him and I told him, I said, "You're not the one for me." And so those words came out of my mouth, and I have no idea why I didn't listen. There's value to the words that we speak. But for whatever reason, we oftentimes don't listen to what we're saying. I could have been saved from a bunch of heartache had I just listened to myself when I spoke those words. It never worked with us ever for 11 years. I was with him for 11 years and it was never a good deal. I ended up pretty much mentally and emotionally dead. I was drained. I ended up in a depressive state for many years, just dark. I became a very dark person, unhappy, mean. Nothing I said was positive. I did not live a positive life. I went from being depressed to being angry to just not caring. We ended up homeless. You guys are going to get a very condensed version. We ended up homeless for a few months. And how can I explain this? So imagine being in a room, a very small room, and it's dark. There's no windows, and there's no airflow because there's no windows. It's just stagnant air. And there's small holes, probably about the circumference of, say, a tennis ball. Maybe about, say, 10 holes throughout this room. That's pretty much how I walked around. It was dark. I was a very stagnant person. And the further along in the relationship, the worse I became. I wanted nothing to do with anyone. I disappeared from my family. They had no idea where I went, where I was. I wouldn't call them. You know, thinking back, it was just, I was ashamed of how I ended up. And probably 5 years into the relationship, we ended up moving back East Coast with his family because we had nowhere else to go. And that was supposed to be, you know, a start over. But it was just a different location. It was the same game. And it just got worse. And I remember we would constantly fight. This person was, I mean, if he talked, it was a lie. It was that type of relationship. And that will destroy someone. And I remember we were arguing in one of our arguments, and he had lied about something. And, you know, you ask a liar, why would he even lie about something? What is he going to do? He's going to lie about it. So I was the maddest I had ever been, full of rage, and yelling, screaming in his face. And we were at the top of the stairs, and I wanted to push him down the stairs. And in the middle of this rage, I stopped, and it was like this, it's weird, this peace came over me. I just calmed down, and I smiled, and I said, you know what, I'm going to stop right now, because if I don't, I'm going to jail, and I'm not doing this anymore. And I walked downstairs. And from that moment, things changed. Now, I was still with him for another few years, but my actions behind my circumstance had changed. Proverbs 18:20 says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. There were many, many years where nothing I spoke was fruitful. Therefore, I kept myself in that situation. My focus was where I was in the moment. I didn't see a way out. And the hate that I had, you know, although I thought at the time that it was a way to deal with where I was, I didn't realize how much it was impacting me. And I didn't understand it then, the value of the words we speak. And when I finally said, I'm not doing it anymore, I changed. My behavior behind those words changed. And so, you know, it was like when I said in the beginning, you know, you're not the one for me. That was something deep inside of me telling me, don't go this way. This is not the route you should be taking. But I didn't listen. And all the words that I spoke after that, I wasn't paying attention to where I was leading myself. And I've since learned that when you pay attention to what you say, when you're on a path God has planned for you, if you start listening to the words that you say, you can check yourself pretty quickly if you're going off the beaten path. And, I mean, I wish I learned that many, many years ago, but better late than never. So when I said, I'm done, my actions changed. Therefore, it put me back on the right course. Everything I did started to transform. And although it still took a few years for my circumstance to change, that was the starting point of it. And, you know, I've learned to listen to what comes out of my mouth. I've learned the value of our words, even in our everyday talk. We use so many filler words, and filler words or like weak words, they're not backed by action. So, you know, I should do something. Well, okay, that's a clue to the direction you should go in, but should is not backed by an action. And I have literally, I don't know, done 2360s from where I was back then. Because, you know, who wants to live in darkness? You know, I thought that was okay, and I thought having a tough exterior, getting me through it, was okay. But, I mean, I was mean. I was nasty. you know, he would come in the room and I'd be like, why are you still breathing? It's just nasty. And I want to be fruitful. And the words I say is either going to produce fruit or it's going to be destructive. You know, I don't want to speak faithless words on a daily basis. That's not what I'm about anymore. I've left that behind. And it's funny, I met Alvin, and probably within a month of meeting Alvin, I heard, that is your husband. And that was the weirdest thing for me, because being raised Catholic, I didn't know that God would speak to you. And literally, clear as day, that is your husband. And here we are. So that's all I have. Go ahead, babe.
Thank you, Sister Keenan, for that. Brother Alvin, go right ahead, sir.
Okay. I'd like to start out by saying thank you to all of our Sunday school teachers that have taught and that's teaching now, because I feel that a Sunday school class teaching is very important for our children. I was born and raised in church. I was raised on what we call the Bible stories, but they're more to me than a Bible, more to me than just a story. This is what the Lord did when he walked on earth, healing the sick, the blind, raising the dead. So there's, when in the Bible stories, it taught me faith, that there's nothing that God cannot do. One brother in the church told me I had simple faith, and that's fine. I have simple faith because as a child, I grew up with these stories and trusting God in everything. And then if you think about, he made Adam and Eve, he created Adam and Eve, so he knows every part of our bodies. So he's already done the work. He knows how to fix us if we're broke. And I've been broke many times. The Lord has touched me in so many different ways, mentally, physically. Well, my first miracle, I was 11 years old. I fell off a 12-foot slide in Texas, was on a family reunion. I was in the hospital I fell off the slide and I broke my arm, my left arm, broke in half, compound fracture, and I was in traction for 7 days. And my mom came in on the second day because the first day was a mess, and me getting in the hospital and all that. But she told me, she said, Alvin, I called Brother Lane. Brother Murray Lane was our pastor at the time there in Rialto. And I called Brother Lane, and the whole church is praying for you. And that a peace came over me. I knew if the whole church was praying for me and Brother Lane was praying for me, I'm going to be okay. I had two surgeries, and they sent me home from Texas back home to California. The doctor in Texas told my parents, do not take that cast off one day early, or that boy will break that arm again. But I want that arm x-rayed in the halfway point. So my mom took me to the doctor at the halfway point of the length of the time I was supposed to have the cast. They took the x-ray. The doctor came in and said, this bone's completely healed. We need to take this cast off. Well, my mom said no. So we went home. We didn't take it off. We talked to my dad. My dad asked me, do you want to fly to Texas or do you want to take it off or what do you want to do? I said, let's take it off. That arm never did break, ever. Never, no pain, nothing. I don't know when the bone healed, but in half the time it was completely healed, and to God be the glory for that. I have another little, and the Lord lets us go through things, not to punish us, not to for us to be in pain, which sometimes we are, but there's usually a reason. It's our testimony, and we're able to witness to somebody else. In 2004, I developed carpal tunnel. 2005. And I had carpal tunnel for months. Now, I didn't have health insurance. I had Jesus. And I started praying. Every day I prayed for myself. Carpal tunnel, many of you probably heard about it or may have even had it. It hurts. And I kept working. I went through a couple of those braces with the metal in the brace. The metal part would start coming out because I just kept working. I had to support the family. And one day up in Highland, I was working on a house. It was 107 degrees. And my hand and arm, the pain was so bad that I'd bang the back of my hand on the bed of the truck to change the pain. So, and I'm praying. I'm working on this house. I get in the truck. And who cares how hot it is because the pain is so intense. I take the brace off, and I guess I was angry and sinned not because I took the brace and I threw it as hard as I could on the floorboard, and I was praying. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, either you got to heal me right now or I have to have surgery or something because I cannot take this pain any longer. And the Holy Ghost fell in the truck. And when you're desperate, you don't care who's watching you, who's looking at you. I was speaking in tongues. And I got done praying and I soaking wet because it's probably 160 in the truck. So I get out and I go over to the water hose and pull my sleeves up and I start rinsing my arms, wash my face, and I'm spraying my arm down, the one that had carpal tunnel, and I'm looking at my hand and I'm like, I'm healed. I am completely healed. And from that moment on, I've never had carpal tunnel pain whatsoever. And I thank the Lord often for all the miracles. But a few years ago, the man I was working for called me up and asked me, I got a house I need help on in Highland. Can you help us this weekend? I was already working for Cal Fire here, and I said, yeah, I'll help you. I wasn't busy. So I was driving over there. He gave me the directions, GPS'd it, and I'm driving over there, and I'm like, man, I'm getting close to where the Lord healed me. I turn on the same exact street. I'm looking at the exact same house where the Lord healed my carpal tunnel. And it's not the address. So I drive past that house to the cul-de-sac, and I park, and I'm thanking the Lord, because I'm on the street that the Lord healed my carpal tunnel. So the boss and his son showed up, and I said, let me tell you guys a story. I said, his name's Frank, and I've witnessed him to him many, many times. I've tried to get him to come to church, and he just keeps telling me no, but one day, and we're still friends. And I said, let me tell you about this story. I said, Frank, do you remember that house right down the street here that you did many years ago? And he walked down the street a little way. Yeah, I remember that house. And then I told him about the Lord healing me right there in front of that house from carpal tunnel. So I was able to witness to him and his son. And he said, Alvin, that just gave me goosebumps. So I know the Lord can work through us, through our pains, for other people. And I have many other miracles that's happened in my life. But I won't take the time tonight to tell everybody, but I'm more than happy to share it. So, Brother Vic, that's about it for me.
Well, thank you, Brother Alvin, and thank you, Sister Keenan. These were some great and powerful things that you shared with us tonight. Thank you, first of all, for opening up with such personal and sensitive details. We say this often in recent weeks that, you know, it's so good when people can open up and confess and say things that are very personal and sensitive. When we say it because it's true, there is power and liberty in releasing things with our words. It helps us, and it also benefits others that are listening. So thank you for that. And yes, Brother Alvin, we appreciate all of our Sunday school teachers. They are training our future church. And thank God that He is still providing miracles today. Church, with everything that we've heard tonight, why don't we just thank God for what He's done, what He's doing, and what He's going to do with us, with our church, with our children, and for providing the miracle that we're going to need tomorrow. Lord Jesus, we thank you for Brother Alvin. We thank you for Sister Keenan and Adriana, Lord God. We thank you for keeping your hand upon them as a family, Lord God, for bringing us out of that dark place that Sister Keenan talked about and putting us on that right path, Lord Jesus. We thank you for this knowledge, with this understanding. We thank you for your blessing and your protection. And we're asking you, Lord God, to help us, Lord God, to continue to strive, continue to be in that place that you want us to be, so we can receive the miracle that you want for us to have. In the name of Jesus, amen. And with that said, church, we want to remind everyone to be back on this same conference call tomorrow morning at 10:15 a.m. We will be listening from Sister Clark, so you do not want to miss it. God bless all of you, and have a great night. Amen.